But now we turn to how we can lessen the problem by casting an analytical eye on our farms. Dr. John Hammond from Reading University has been getting to the root of the issue for over a decade now. Hello, John.
Hello.
Surely the first plan of action should be to reduce the amount of phosphorus we're using in the first place, right?
Well, that's right. Phosphorus is essential for growing our food, so we can't do away with it completely. We have to have some inputs into the system. And as we've already heard, as to the Second World War, the amount of phosphorus we were using has increased probably more than it should have done. But we are on the case now and looking at that. And certainly in the UK over the last sort of 20 or 30 years, the amount of phosphorus going into our fields has roughly halved.
But that's not enough then. I mean, what else should we be doing or can we be doing?
Well, there are a number of things that we can look at. There are land management issues, looking at creating a healthy soil so the phosphorus in there is turned over, looking at alternative fertilisers and sources of phosphorus from things like sewage. Or we can look at breeding crops which are better at capturing the phosphorus in the soil and using it more efficiently.
Because I suppose there are places in the world, like Australia, I'm thinking, where it's really poor in phosphorus. So there are plants that grow there. So can we just sort of steal some of their tricks of the trade and use them in our crops in the UK?
Yeah, that's one of the types of things we're looking at doing. So these plants in Australia live on very little phosphorus, and yet they're able to produce large amounts of biomass. So they have a number of attributes in their root systems and in their leaves that allow them to capture phosphorus more efficiently by exuding acids and enzymes into the soil to extract the phosphorus, making very good close relationships with things like bacteria and fungi in the soil to help them capture the phosphorus, and very extensive root systems that can mine the phosphorus from the soil.
And these bits of research you're mentioning there, have they been successful? Have we been able to breed them into other crop varieties?
So there's been a number of attempts to do these things. So there's a couple of examples. For example, in China, there's some soybeans which are now available commercially where they've overexpressed in the roots some of these enzymes which are released from the root into the soil. And these enzymes can break down some of the phosphorus locked away in organic compounds. And they are more efficient at capturing that phosphorus and producing higher yields for less phosphorus inputs. And another example is in beans, where we've got this phenotype or characteristic of the root system where they're able to put a lot of their roots in the topsoil. Because phosphorus is very reactive, it doesn't move very far in the soil. It tends to stay in the top 30 centimetres. So if you can get a plant to put a lot of its roots into that area of the soil, it can capture more phosphorus.
Is that not a bit of a risky thing to do, though? I'm thinking if there's a drought or anything, you want deep roots. So, I mean, you can't really put all your eggs in one basket, surely?
No, that's it. So that is one of the downsides to that approach, is if you put all your roots in the topsoil, you're at risk of not being able to capture maybe water and nitrogen, which are further down in the soil profile. So there has to be some aspect of plasticity in the root system that allows the plant to respond to an appropriate stress.
And you mentioned this sort of inaccessible phosphorus in the soil before, and how these root systems produce enzymes to get this phosphorus out. I wondered if you could just sort of unpick that a little bit for me.
Well, the plant can only take up phosphate, which is in the soil solution, and the rest of the phosphorus in the soil is either bound to the soil particles through very strong bonds or in organic compounds, so dead plant material or dead microbes. But in the soil, there are fungi and bacteria which have to scavenge that phosphorus as well from those sources. And they have these enzymes and ability to release acids into the soil to release that phosphorus from it. So plants historically are very good at making mycorrhizal symbioses, which help the mycorrhizal fungi captures the phosphorus for the plant, and in exchange the plant gives the fungi some carbon. So the plant can encourage those microbes to grow and help scavenge the phosphorus for them.
I imagine, though, trying to unpick what microbes are doing that job is, well, next to impossible. There are thousands, if not millions, of species of microbes in soil. So how do you go about finding the right one?
It is very tricky. And up until probably the last 5 or 10 years, it's been nigh on impossible, because a lot of the microbes in the soil won't grow very well in the lab. So it's very difficult to take them out of the soil and find out what's there. With the advent of new sequencing technology, we've been able to take the DNA out of the soil and sequence that DNA and start looking and identifying all the microbes that are there. But we're actually part of a new BBSRC funded project where we're looking at not extracting the DNA, but actually extracting the protein and sequencing the proteins that are in the soil around the roots so that we can identify the types of enzymes that are active in the phosphorus cycling process, but also the microbes that those enzymes came from in the first place.
So you can sort of match them together and then hopefully design some microbial soil magic dust that you can sprinkle on and get your plants to extract phosphorus magically.
That's the idea.
I just have a bone to pick with you, because surely you're kicking the can further down the road for future generations to pick up, though, because we're still reliant on this phosphorus despite reducing it.
Certainly, there's no way we can produce food without that. So it's still a question of minimising the amount we actually use and using it as efficiently as possible in the farming system. But we do need to look at a whole host of mechanisms to close that phosphorus loop so we're not losing it to the water where it's causing eutrophication, and bring it back onto the farm so we're not washing it all away.
Dr. John Hammond of Reading University, thank you very much.